So this is Janet Smedo Michael. It's April 27th, 2017, and we are downtown. So,
Cambria City.
Cambria City. So, where were you living during the 77 flood?
515 Power Street, Cambria City.
And what were you doing the day before the flood?
I worked for Johnstown Bank and Trust, and I worked at the main office. And so it was just an ordinary day of working and then coming home and being with the children. Being that it was summer, our mom worked in the school cafeteria down at, so she was available to watch the children.
So, the night of the flood, what were you doing that night?
I was home, and because it was pouring so hard, and it's the lightning was unbelievable, scary and loud. The kids were scared. They were like 3 and 4 at the time. So that really was something else. What happened too, we were sitting at home, and Power Street's right along the river. In fact, across the street is the river. There's no houses over there, just a little grassy area. And a friend of my brother's that was trying to head home towards Seward in a TR7, this low sports car, went to go up Fairfield Avenue in Morrellville, and the underpass was already filled with water, thereby, yes, was now Giant Eagle. So he came back to my brother's. I mean, he hadn't been there earlier. He just thought of my brother. Came back, and I was home, but my brother wasn't. And he asked if he could stay there because of his car. He didn't want to go through that water, so could he stay at our house? Little did he know that during the night then, I'd have to call him down because my brother was staying on my third floor. But he actually, my dad came over and said, "Move your cars from Power Street. Move them back." We moved them to the alley, thinking that the water would just overflow the top, but not that the houses would block and whatever, and that the cars a block back would be fine. You just assume that the river wells were that high, that everything would have kept heading west.
So, what did you do the morning after
But
the
it's
flood?
the morning after.
Yeah.
Well, there's still a big story about the night of the
Okay.
flood, but what happened was we were really surprised. We always perceive Cambria City to be flat, and it's not. It's level, but it's not flat. So it got to be about 9 o'clock in the morning, and the water had receded from Power Street, us looking out. Sunshiny day, by the way. And so we walked out, made a left to go towards City Garage, and it was just mud. And we get down by City Garage, and that's on the corner of 6th and Power, and there's a river ramp there. In the first place, we turned toward Chestnut Street and saw my aunt. That's one block away, and yet she was in a rowboat with National Guard members taking her home to 521 Chestnut Street. And yet we were walking on mud. But the thing is, when we got to the river ramp, we saw some debris at the top of the barricade that keeps you from driving down the ramp, and actually found a dead body. It was, he had been in, it, his name was Smith, I believe Todd, but he had been living on Messenger Street in Dale, and or up that area. And they were up in their attic, his wife, two sons, and himself. And I think they were 7 and 9, if I'm not mistaken. They were up in their attic and heard a dam burst at the top up there and washed down. And it took their house and the house beside them. They floated down, and the mother was actually pulled out of the water by a fellow in Hornerstown that was on his porch and reached out to her. But we found the dad, and they never did find the two boys. But right beside the city garage is, it was clean. The asphalt beside that was clean where they laid the body. So I ran over to St. Emmerich's Church first to try to get the priest to come over, very spiritual. And here he wasn't in, so I went over to St. Casimir's Rectory, and Monsignor Rosowski came out and blessed the body. So that was very traumatic. And then, like my sister said, about finding out by word of mouth other people that have passed and what devastation. You know what, though? At that time, cars were parked in what had been Chestnut Street playgrounds, school grounds. And that was between 5th and 6th Avenue there on Chestnut Street. And it was street cleaning night there on Chestnut Street. So those cars were actually parked in that lot. You should have seen how they were piled up. Oh, my word. Well, the water came downtown and were blocked by this big, huge public school building. So they were piled on top of each other like this, like three high. Oh, my word. I've never seen anything like it. But that's just it. We then walked down Chestnut Street. Even that same evening, down here on this block over by Aces was still unwalkable. It was still had water.
So can you tell me more about the night? You said there's another story.
What happened was because of having the two boys, and I was dating this fellow from Tanneryville, his family lives up on the hillside that's behind, up above the Albright Newton Methodist Church, that area up there. So we thought what we would do is to get the boys. I took my purse and just a change of clothes for each boy and put him in garbage bags. And I was carrying the younger son and a garbage bag, and Bucky was carrying this, the other boy in a garbage bag. But we stopped over at my parents' because they lived in the back of the property next door to where we lived, and to tell them that we were going. And at that time, when we went over to my parents', and that's just, feet away, yards away, I should say, the water was below our knees. So we thought, no problem, we'll go ahead, walk down Cambria Place, cross 4th Avenue, go up over 4th Avenue Bridge, and then Iron Street, which Iron Street sits higher than Cambria City, so we thought that that would be a good thing, than to walk back to his parents' home and stay there. And here, we just stopped long enough to tell them we were going. Walked down into the alley, and when we walked down into the alley, it was already up over my knees. But when we got to the avenue, and my parents lived beside St. Casimir's Church, so it's in the middle of the block, but between 5th and 6th, but by the time we got to 5th Avenue, little did we know we were in the thick of things. We walked out and the water was hitting us from the front, heading down the alley. But as we were crossing 5th Avenue, we got the backwash from Tanneryville. Mm. The water was coming literally meeting on 5th Avenue where we were walking and heading toward Brownstown. That was bizarre, man. So I'm walking, and he's, thank God he was on my right, because I'm carrying TK on the left, and I feel a limb hit my legs. Oh, by then, it was up to here. It was up under my arms. And we were still determined to get to 4th Avenue. It's a block away. I stepped into what I thought was a limb hitting my legs. So I leaned into him, went step up. What I didn't know, I was stepping into a tree. So as it's coming at me with even more force because the whole trunk's behind it. So we had to go back. Thank God the guy was built like an anvil, because it's so surreal and you can't believe it's happening that it started saying really weird stuff. And I'm a level-headed person. I really think well in crisis situations. And yet, right then, I started saying weird stuff. You could hear a pin drop out there. You're asking what you heard? You could hear a pin drop. How in heaven's name? Usually you couldn't hear water rushing, even. It was silent. Bizarre. The thundering had stopped. Holy man, I'll tell ya. You think you would hear things caving in and crashing? Josie was telling me their basement windows broke. Didn't hear a thing. Nothing. No one screaming, nothing. But when I did stop to step through that tree, I did see out of the corner of my eye somebody, because I leaned toward him, and saw somebody crossing Broad Street. But the water was over their shoulders. You just saw their heads and them kind of trying to bob across the street. Oh, my word. So anyway, so we go, we went back to my parents' house and did spend, you know, the evening then, you know, with them up in their, up on their second floor. However, they, we prayed rosaries like crazy. Susie was saying about laughing and talking and stuff. Yes, we did that because it was so awkward. Your emotions were so heightened. And yet it was so surreal that I don't know how to explain it. But praying a lot, anyway. So the next morning we go out, like I said, about finding the body and stuff. But we still thought that, that the boys and I would stay at his parents' house. We go to walk down Iron Street, not realizing that water had come down Prosser Hollow Road. And that was washed out when we had heard from our neighbors down here, the Seleckis, that they the Seleckis' son is married to this Etta DeRossi from Minersville. Her mother was washed away. Her mother had been on that part of Iron Street, thinking that she was going to head somewhere down Iron Street, but she left her home to go and got washed away. I don't think they ever found her either, by the way. But that was so weird. You had to walk up against the hillside because the edge of the road was washed out. Creepy. So we get down to Tanneryville, walking, and we went up to, you know, we saw at the bottom of Tanneryville there, where Cooper Avenue takes that hard right to go over to Tanneryville, there was wood piled up high. I mean, it had to be like one story high and so far in either direction, because when that stuff washed down from Tanneryville, it hit the river wall and spanned out both ways. There were people standing on top of it, pulling boards out to look for bodies. Yeah, still gives me the chills. We walked on the hillside then, above Cooper Avenue, there on the right-hand side as you're facing, you know, with your back toward Cooper Avenue, and walked along the hillside to see what we didn't know then, too, until we got that far. There's a creek that runs along the right side of the hill. At one point further back in Tanneryville, it would curve. I mean, it curved, I guess, from the dam, of course, kind of ran down the middle and then spread out. There was a girl that I know, this Vicky Santition, that was her maiden name, was, there was water on both sides of her house. She actually survived the flood by standing on the sideboard in her dining room, tilting her head up and the with her head thrown back against the ceiling, that the water was up to her chin. It had receded by the time we got there, but there's still water on both sides of her house. So we actually saw a helicopter come and lower a rope for her to climb up that rope to go in the elevator. I mean, did I say elevator? Helicopter. Oh my word, but it was so traumatic. Just even seeing somebody you know go through that. Wow. Anyway, sorry.
So what was it like a week after the flood?
My experience was different in that I was a bank teller and I was working at the main office of Bank of Trust, which is the end of Main Street. Their business sits up quite high where the first floor wasn't damaged by the flood. So we were still in operation as a bank. I had to still go to work. And you had to dress up. We were only allowed to wear pants between November and March. So I had to actually wear a dress. Thank heavens my second floor of my home wasn't damaged. And got shoes that St. Rochus was giving away to wear there and carrying my dress shoes. And to get to work.
How high was the water in your house?
The house actually sets up quite high to where you have to go up four steps to go in the front door. And yet it was still up above my knees. So that took away the stove, refrigerator, washer, dryer in the basement, all my living room furniture, because it was up over, right over the cushions of my furniture. Back then, TVs even sat on the floor, so that was all gone. What I didn't realize, too, how much it would cost to replace all that, we went out to Ebensburg Jamesway, because that was the closest store at that time, and it cost me $40 alone to replace what was in my the one drawer, the spatulas and that kind of stuff, your silverware, $40. I had flood insurance, but what I had was I had only gotten $2,300 because I was honest about what I had and even deducted 10% per year of usage, and I was too honest for my own good. And I hate to word it that way, but at the same time, it hurt me financially when I'm working at the bank. They then ask if I would work in Cambria City, you know, fill in down there, because there were a lot of people that couldn't make it to work from there once they got the Cambria City office together. But even when I walked in there, it was still mud. They were still scrubbing the floor. Somebody on welfare came in with a check for $5,000. They were handed big checks, even though I had expensive things. And my children's photo albums were in the base of my coffee table. Irreplaceable stuff. And because I had insurance, I got less than somebody on welfare. So anyway, one other thing. Being that the house was so damaged and I didn't have all that stuff, I actually lived in a HUD trailer in Tanneryville. It was scary, though, that it was in Tanneryville. I had never been in a trailer before, and I didn't realize how flat the sides were. It stormed a couple days later. It rained so hard, and the children were asleep in the trailer, and I'm looking out the windows, and the water was running down the windows. You couldn't even see out them. Talk about scary. Oh, my gosh. I was afraid we were going to be washed away, because I knew there's no way that they had a chance to amend, and for lack secure. Of a better word, the river on both sides of the property we were on. So I just thought it would fill up again from hill to hill.
So what was it like a month after the flood?
Oh, a month after the flood, I was living in Tanneryville at that time. It was so hard to get from Tanneryville to downtown. I was lucky enough to have friends that had cars that lived in Morrellville or whatever. They were able to help give me rides to work. But what else was hard? Having Christmas out there was hard. And living among people that you didn't know. And
how long were you out there?
We were out there till, would you believe, the following February. What happened was, I couldn't move back into the house where I'd lived. My grandmother lived on Chestnut Street, and she owned the property she was in at 604 Chestnut. She owned the property she was born in that I had lived in at the time of the flood. She was born in that house in 1900. Anyway, she owned that house and the back house, which is the house in the back of the property there in Cambria Place. After the flood, because she didn't want to go through the repair work, that she actually gave the front house on Power Street to her other daughter that lived on Chestnut Street, and the smaller house in the back to my parents. But it took her about a month to figure that out. So even though we did have help that came up actually from Bethlehem, PA, it was these teenagers that helped. Like Susie was saying, there was a foot of mud in our backyard, and it was hard. You had to actually break it apart with a pitchfork. They found a dead bird that they actually chopped in half by what I had a lot of in my yard. My yard smelled funny. You say, what did you smell? Would you believe there were a lot of, what would you call a wrapper? Containers from the ice cream that Santa Jerry was making. So our yard kind of smelled like spoiled milk from Santa Jerry Dairy and spoiled ice cream in the sun. But anyway, so we cleaned up the front house, and then the people in the back house were just renting. So they left. They left rather than clean up. I had to start again, cleaning up a dirty kitchen and everything in the back house. So until that property was repaired, it was February. And by the time Susie was saying, by the time you cleaned up, then bought your furniture and had it delivered and made financial arrangements, I was a single parent. So it took a long time to replace everything.
What was there concern over food or water after the flood?
Huge. Huge. What we had moved, Susie was saying about my dad telling them to take the food upstairs, that was already a little bit later. Earlier that evening, he came over, and it was about 11, saying, move your cars from Power Street to Chestnut Street in the alley.
What happened to your cars?
Wash away. And my sister Patty and my brother Jimmy just got new Subarus. And they were very lightweight. Flitted away. That TR7, all you could see was about 3 inches at the top of the antenna. Oh my. Yeah. Wow. Wow. But yeah, it took a while to replace the cars too.
So what was Johnstown like a year after the flood?
I'll tell you what, the biggest change to us was Cambria City. Because people had no choice but to redo everything. So they got their homes sited. They put gardens in. By the way, flood mud is very...
Fertile.
Everyone, a lot of flowers, a lot of... That's why when they had that centennial then in, what was it, the 1989, that's why they put it in Cambria City, because Cambria City looked so nice. But what was so unifying, everyone you knew was going through the same thing. Everyone knew somebody that had been in the flood. There were about 13 people that died from St. Rocha's itself. So everyone knew somebody and found out more about how everybody was doing, but you had something in common. I still love those people dearly.
Who was the biggest help after the flood?
Actually, I met Mr. Akers. So 20 years later. He was actually, he lived on Boyd Avenue at the time in Roxbury, 8th Ward. And he had been like vice president at Sanitary Dairy. And he told me that he was instrumental in donating water to Cambria City. They actually bought these big like tanks in of fresh water that we'd have to go down and fill up. So I'd say he had a big part in it.
Prior to 77, was there a concern
and
that...
And Stephen Slavik, Reverend Stephen Slavik, I'm sorry for interrupting.
Prior to 77, was there a thought that another flood could happen, or did you think Johnstown...
They used to call it the flood-free city. Because of the river walls being put in after the 36 flood, we really felt safe. They actually, at that time, made the river wider, made it deeper, so that it would accommodate any dams breaking even upstream.
So, have you ever looked back in hindsight and wondered, what could I have done to prepare?
Heavens no. There's no way to prepare, because you didn't know what to expect, other than buying insurance. How appropriate.
Well, I guess that ruins our plans to play lacrosse today, but... So, in the cleanup process, did you find any interesting artifacts in the cleanup process?
No. Everything was washed away, including our stuff.
And I think my last question, can you describe the flood in one word?
Life-changing.
Thank you. I'd like to thank you for your time.
You know, since then, oh no, don't record. I've